All right. Shalom, everyone who's listening to this recorded message. To those of you here, this is our fourth week of our new format, and we have been but we're continuing to add some liturgy to our congregation, to our services. And so rather than just adding things, we wanted to take this opportunity to not only add but teach. You know, it's important when you hear something in Hebrew or when you speak Hebrew that you actually know why, what you're saying, why you're saying it. And so we're careful not to just throw too much out there that you don't know. So we're going to take this a little at a time. And I've got my assistant, my assistant in the gray shirt. Yes, he's got some papers to hand out to you. And I'll buy him another. Did he hand them out? Do you guys all have? You have it? Wonderful. Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, we come before you. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify you. And Lord, though we do miss those who aren't with us today, we ask you to bless them, oh God. We ask you to help them, Lord. And we lift up everyone, the roughly 100 people who have come through these doors since we started the congregation. And we pray, Lord, that they would be doing your will, serving in some capacity in some congregation somewhere. And if they're not, we pray, oh God, you would bring them here. You would bring them to worship with us, and you continue to send people to us, Lord, who have a heart to go in the direction that we're going. So we thank you, Lord, for our uniqueness. We thank you for what we're doing, and we thank you, Lord, that we recognize that there are times when there's more people, there's times when there's less, but every Shabbat, the doors are open. So we can come and to contribute to what's going on in the house of Israel. So we choose to do that today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your help. We thank you for this time we have together in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. We're going to go through what is one of the sections of the prayer, the Amidah prayer. And so we've got what you have in your hand is a little different than what we have on the screen. But before we do that, I want to read something to you. This is just not really good. Huh? Let me pause for 1 second and change my microphone here. Hold on. Oh, you know, hang on 1 second. We want to get you out so you can.
I was watching a documentary last night or the night before where Rabbi Kahn was being interviewed by a church, Robert Morris's church in Dallas. And he said, I didn't realize at the time that I was observing or following a replacement theology type thing.
Robert Morris.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he said they had others. The one who actually translated the TLV, which is also Jewish.
Yeah, you probably
a Jewish Jeffrey, translation. They had her on there.
Oh, Dina.
And he said I didn't realize.
I can't think of her name, but I know you're talking. Yeah.
Yeah, she was on
Dinah. Is it Dinah? Dinah or Dina. Forgive me if you happen to hear this. Go ahead. Keep
it
on
was
going.
Just good because he said, I didn't realize that I was in this way and this way and this way, following a replacement type until this light went on when someone taught this thing and this light went on and he goes, oh my goodness, I want to bless Israel. I want to bless Israel.
Yeah.
And he said, as they began to bless Israel and send their blessings to Israel and support Israel, the blessings came back from God to them, that whole covenant promise. And it was a good interview.
So I'm glad you brought him up. Dinah Greenberg. That's who you're talking about, I believe, the lady who wrote, she's the one who spearheaded the TLV. But anyway, Yes. Great people. We see him periodically when we're out of town. So Robert Morris, one thing I can tell you about him, and I can say this very publicly, and I'm glad you're saying that as a witness to him saying that. So not only did he hear that, there's a big difference between hearing and listening and doing. So he, for lack of a better term, shamad, he heard with the intent of doing, and he did. He's got one of the largest churches in the country, in Dallas. Yeah. And he knows the rabbi we're under. He lives right there. But not only that, he has a big messianic ministry in his church. Okay. We're there. Yeah. Yeah. And he has a yeshiva I was part of a long time ago or years ago. He used to have a South African man who, a South African Jew, who the Lord showed himself. He was in Jerusalem and I'm paraphrasing his story, but he had just come to know Messiah. He came to know Messiah. He was a boxer. Have you heard this story? A little bit, yeah. But the long and the short of it is he was a boxer, and he was all set to go to the Olympics in Los Angeles in 1984. And because in 1980, the U.S. boycotted Russia. Well, Russia boycotted the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles. And his whole dream was to box in the Olympics, and that was shattered. But he said, I want to go to America, and so he went to New York. He ends up receiving Messiah. He's from South Africa. Then he goes back, so now he's in Israel walking around and just chewing on all this kind of stuff. His life, what am I going to do? And he's at the temple, and he sees a vision of Yeshua. And he's walking on the ramparts around David's Citadel, and just that whole, you know, you can keep going around and keep, you know, it just continues, you know, and continues and continues. And it totally changes life. He comes to America. He ends up in Dallas. He ends up doing a messianic ministry there with Robert Morris. I don't know where he is now. I see him on Facebook a little bit. All of that being said, Robert Morris, his ministry was just blown up. And he's able to do things for Christians and Jews and Messianics that few can actually do in an area of Texas. You know, Texas isn't a bastion of Judaism. You know, with cowboys and everything else, he's able to do that. So that in and of itself is pretty miraculous. So I'm glad you brought that up. So that brings us back to where we were here. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 3. And I want to read this to you. One afternoon, and again, this is from the Complete Jewish Bible. If you're reading from King James, you're going to miss it. They've removed words and changed stuff, so it just hides things that are right there for in Jewish understanding. One afternoon at 3 o'clock, the hour of the mincha prayers. Okay, we talked about the prayers during the day. We talked about shacharit in the morning, mincha the afternoon, and ma'ariv in the evening. So this is at 3 o'clock. This is in the afternoon, the hour of the mincha prayers. As Kef and Yochanan were going up to the temple. Okay, so right here we see a couple things going on. One, the temple was still there, right? Because they're going to the temple. Two, this is decades after Messiah had died, resurrected. Three, these prayers are going on. Why were the mincha prayers going on? Because that sacrifice in the afternoon was going on at the same time. Okay, so that's the connection, okay? And four, Amidah, thank you. Gosh, I'm blanking out here. There are so many Hebrew terms. And so this prayer, the Mincha prayer, what is it? It's the Amidah that's done the second time that day. It's done three times a day. Okay? And what does Amidah, what does it mean? Anybody knows what it means? It means to stand. So it's the standing prayer, not the sitting prayer. If you're in a synagogue and this comes, they're ready to pray this prayer, they'll ask anybody, they'll say, you know, please arise, you know, stand for this. Or if you can't stand physically, then stand inside, you know. Let your spirit stand up and be in agreement. So it's the standing prayer. So look what happens. One afternoon at 3 o'clock, the hour of Mincha prayers, as Kepha and Yochanan were going up to the temple, a man crippled since birth was being carried in. Every day, people used to put him in the beautiful gate of the temple so that he could beg from those going into the temple court. When he saw Kepha and Yochanan about to enter, he asked them for some money, but they stared straight at him, and Kepha said, "Look at us." The crippled man fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Kepha said, "I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth, walk." What do you have to do to walk? Get up. And what do you have to do to walk? Can you walk sitting? No. Can you walk laying down and crippled? And it says here that he was crippled when? From his birth. So there hasn't been a day in his life that this man has walked, and he's been placed outside the temple, and three times a day, people are coming in and going out for this prayer in particular, and he's been there his whole life. Verse 7, and taking hold of him by his right hand, Kepha pulled him up. Instantly his feet and ankles became strong so that he sprang up, stood a moment, and then began walking. Then he entered the temple court with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And everyone saw him walking and praising God. They recognized him as the same man who had formerly sat begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were utterly amazed and confounded at what had happened to him. It goes on, while he clung to Kepha and Yochanan, all the people came running in astonishment toward them in Shlomo's colonnade. Seeing this, Kepha addressed the people. "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you stare at us as if we had made this man walk through some power or godliness of our own? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jewish God, the God of our fathers, the God of our avot." Avot. Amidah prayer is broken down. We're going to read the most common portion of it is the avot, the portion of the fathers. So what is av in Hebrew? Father. And you add ot, that's plural. So what is avot? Fathers. As in perki avot, the ethics of the fathers. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Yeshua, the same Yeshua you handed over to be disowned by Pilate. Even after he had decided to release him, you denied the Holy One, an innocent one, and instead asked for the reprieve of a murderer." So he goes to this whole thing, and he's telling them about Messiah. At the temple, during the time of the Amidah prayer, and he's quoting part of the Avot, comes up in the Amidah prayer. But it's interesting because it says here, let me scroll back up here. These are the people, they recognize him as the same man who had formerly sat begging at the beautiful gate. The man, he entered the temple. So guess what he was able to do for the first time in his life? Walk, but he was able to go into the temple and stand for the Amidah and pray it. And so when this great miracle took place, it wasn't like at a low, slow time at midnight around the temple when no one was around. No, it's at during the middle of the day when all the men are rushing to the temple to be part of the Amidah, the Mincha, the afternoon portion of the Amidah. Hallelujah. So you see the connection between the Mincha, the Amidah, with the Shacharit, the Mincha, and the Ma'ariv prayer. It was the prayer that was being prayed at the temple at the time of the offerings. So why does this prayer come up in the synagogues? Why is it prayed? To commemorate, not to replace. You can't replace, but to commemorate the offerings that were going on in the temple. Why is there a synagogue? To commemorate the offerings going on in the temple. Now, I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, you can just, God doesn't require you to pray certain times a day. You can pray whenever. Is that totally true? No. Is it totally false? No. But like I would say to most questions or comments that people make like that, there's a whole lot more to it than that. You can pray, we can pray right to God right now about anything we want to pray. You can go home, you can pray at midnight, 2 in the morning, about anything you want to pray. However, you can't pray the commemorative prayers, the prayers that were going on at the temple to commemorate the lost temple service at any time. You've got to pray them at the time when they were ordained to be prayed. Again, this Western mentality of personal prayers. Yeah, I can pray a personal prayer whenever I want to pray a personal prayer. Prayers for the community and prayers for the house of Israel that covers all the nations of the earth. You got to pray as directed by Hashem at the time he says and the way he says. And ordained by those who he put in charge, whether they receive Messiah or not. He'll deal with them when he deals with them. He never removed that authority from them. You had a question, Casey and I. Sorry I didn't get to you. Yeah, it says right here. Yeah, and see, this is, I don't want to say anything online about different things. You got it there. And yeah, and so again, I don't want to say too much particulars about the different things. However, they translate things a little differently, and what Linda said is exactly right. That puts them in the same thing. Even if what she said she didn't say and there was no understanding of that, it says right here, the hour of the Mincha prayers. So what is the time is that? We know that's the afternoon. So whether it was 3 o'clock or 2:15, or is that important? Absolutely. But in context of the story and what we're getting to, it's neither here nor there. But thank you for pointing that out. What does it say? Anybody have a King James opened up? What does it say? I'm in verse number Acts 3:1. The ninth hour, the hour of prayer. You know, and so... But the ninth hour from when? See, this is, I don't want to get a whole into that, because the Gregorian day starts at midnight. The holy day, the God's calendar, starts at evening. So at the ninth hour from the, you have to see, when is it from? What's the ninth hour from day when the sun came up? The morning. It's the ninth hour. So 6 a.m. So that's when the temple thing started going, and the first thing they did in the temple was the first offering, the Shacharit. We got to listen to a whole Shacharit mini service on the way down today, which was really good. Okay, so that being said, any questions? No? Okay, we're going to read together, and we've got a couple, the version you have in your hand is a little, it's the same, it's just formatted a little different than what we have up here. But we're going to read this together, and I'm going to show you what the words mean. I don't expect you to memorize this right now, but you can take notes, and you have understanding of what's what. So we start right here. What is Baruch? Blessed. Praise, blessed, same kind of idea. Typically, it's translated as blessed. Atah, you, masculine for you. Adonai. And you see here it has the whole tetragrammaton we don't pronounce. You can say Adonai. You hear people say Hashem. And basically 99% of Hebrew prayers start off, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. This one doesn't say King of the universe. It doesn't continue there. But look what it does say. Eloheinu. So you see Elohim. You see that within this word. And when you have a U at the end, it means our. So our. Eloheinu. What's that? Ve'lohe, God of Avotenu. There's Avot again. So fathers, and you see this U, Tenu, when you see E-I-N-U, that's always our. So our fathers. Elohe, God of Again, you see this Elohe here. You say Ve Elohe, and God of Abraham, Elohe, God of Isaac, Isaac, Velohe, God of Yaakov, Jacob. Didn't we just see that in what he quoted to the men of Israel? He was quoting the Amidah that they were going, that they had just come out of the synagogue praying. He's quoting it to them. Ha'el, can you scroll up a little for me? There we go. God, or put in, it's Ha'el, so it has God here, but it's the God, same kind of thing, very specific. Not just a God. No, it's the God, Hagadol, the great, Hagibor, the mighty, Vehanora, and the revered. El is God, Elyon, most high. So we have Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu, the Elohe Avotenu, Elohe Avraham, Elohe Yitzhak, the Elohe Yaakov, Ha'el Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora El Elyon. And in that third line in your English, there should be an L at the end of Hagadol. It should be Hagadol. Okay. And then we come to the next line. Gomel, who bestows chasadim, mercies. So what do you see in this chasadim? What does that sound like? Not carne asada, if anyone was thinking that, if you're hungry. Chesed. What is chesed? Grace. Who gives chesed? And if you put an I-M at the end of a Hebrew word, what does that make it? An I-M or an O-T? Plural, okay? So mercies. Tovim. And what is tov? Good. And see, this is one that we don't have in English. We say good, you're thinking about a singular, but this is plural. He's just good in all things. He's goods, you know, if not good English, but you get the understanding. He's good in all things, not just in a thing. Ve kone. When you have the ve, that's always and kone, creator of. Ha, what is ha? And what is kol? Kol is all. So if you wanted to directly translate it into English, it would be the all, but we wouldn't say it like that. So just all. Ve zocher. Again, ve is and. Zocher and remembers. Chazdeh, graces. And you can see in this word chazdeh, back to the same thing here. You see the same word, chasadim, the ha-sa-da. You see that? Ha-sa-da. You see those words in here. So graces, and then again, avot, fathers. So Most High God, and the revered, the almighty, the great God. Let's say the great God of our fathers. Let me pull it up on here. I leave off, yeah. The third line is Ha El Hagadol Hagibor Vehenora El Elyon Gomel Chasidim Tovim Vekone Hakol. Who bestows good kindness and purchases all? Who remembers? This is what we get here. U Meveim. Who remembers? Goel, a redeemer. Livne, Venechem. You guys say Venechem. Lema'an, Shmo, Be'ahava. Let's go through these words. What is the word for, just the general word for love in Hebrew? Oh, heart, that's heart. But love is Ahava. You know, if I said I love Stacy, I would say Ani Ohev. So you see, that's part of it. So you see, be always means in, achava, so in love. And this Shemo, his name, we say Baruch Hashem. What is Hashem? The name, okay? So his name, Shemo, Lema'an, for the sake of, to their descendants, Venechem, Livne, Goel, U-Mevim, a redeemer, and brings, I'm reading backwards, yeah, brings, let me read on here, who remembers the kindness, who bestows good kindness and purchases all, who remembers the kindness of the patriarchs. Yeah, let me catch what I want to get. Oh, this is where you said it's a little different on here. Does this have the rest of it on here or no? Gotcha. Where are you? Where, is this on here? It's right. Go back up if you would, please. Okay, pause. Oh, yeah. So, Goel Umevim. And brings. A redeemer and brings. And it actually, the Livne, it is translated to, so I've got to, let's see here. It'll say, so in love, his name forsake to their descendants. Venechem Livne, to their descendants. So this is a term, Vinechem Livne, translating that together is to their descendants. Or and, it has and to their descendants. In the sentence structure, yeah. In context of what it's saying here.
Do you have a translation for Livne by itself?
It would be, it should be a descendant. But I have to, let me confirm that. But it should be translated as a descendant. Venehem, it's to their, and you can see right here in Livne, what do you see right in here? See Ven or Ben? Sons? So you see that right in the word. What you have right here, Ben. See that? And we'll get into that idea of when to pronounce something as Ben, or a B or a V. A redeemer, Umevim, and see and love his name. And then we have one more line, two more lines. Yeah. So again, Umagen. So what is Magen? Magen is a shield. You know, we talked about Magen David, the shield of David. We have, yeah. Let's take a look. Yeah, you on here. And so we're working on getting the rest of this on. That's why we put this one up, because it has the rest of it. We'll be saying this today. So, and shield and savior, Umoshiach. See that? Yeah. But it's not. How they have this, they have the Hebrew left to right, and then they have this. Okay, I see you're saying, okay, you want me to do that? You want me to go this way? O King, Melech, O Helper, O Tzir, and Savior, U Moshiach, and Shield, U Magen. Okay, and then again here, Baruch, blessed, Atayu, Adonai, Magen, Abraham, the shield of Abraham. So we've talked about, or you hear a lot about Magen David. And people say, oh, that Star of David, it's evil. It means this, it means that. But they, again, there's more to it than that, than what people tell you about it. But you don't often hear the shield of Abraham. So a lot of these terms are out there, you just don't hear them. And people will pick on one particular term they don't understand. So questions, thoughts? Anybody? So this is part of the prayer. This isn't the whole prayer. The prayer is broken down into 18 parts. This is the most common portion. You know how we do Shema and Ve'ahavta are part of one prayer. We don't do them all. Same idea. So this is the prayer that they were saying that has continued to be said all the way to us today, that had been said way, way back to the times of the temple. First temple, most likely. Up until today, and it'll continue to be said once the temple is restored again. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello, Shabbat Shalom. Again, David. Yeah. She was just saying, for the record, she was reading in Psalms. You said the prayer. What does it say? Yeah, Magen David in. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Any questions or comments or thoughts? All right. So, Father, we thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Char. Uh-huh. Yes. Sure. Chayom. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Is and it's forever. Yeah. So let me comment on that. That's a real good question. So okay. So here's what you have to look at. We live within time and space. He doesn't. Time and space was created for men in order to initially, really, to show them when to plant their crops, when to have certain festivals, et cetera, et cetera. There's a come a day. When Revelation says, you know, it talks about time will no longer exist. So what we see as time, it won't be there anymore. So we have to do, when we're looking at things like that, we got to recognize God exists outside of time and space. It won't always be like that. And when we look at something like that and we think about it in a finite, you always, when you're looking at Scripture, you always have to say to yourself, and this is something I haven't taught about a whole lot, is this something that is happening within time and space, outside of time and space? Let me give you a good for instance, and then we're going over, but this is all real good. So the doing mitzvot or doing the works of God, can you do them in both? Well, you can only do the works of God within time and space. And that's okay. That's all good. Because so what happens when you die? Can you continue to do the works of God on earth? You can't. So when someone dies or you... Exactly. When someone dies or you say someone is killed, what you've done is you've rendered them useless to continue to do the works of God because they can't do the works of God within time and space. This is something in Christianity that understanding is not there. And that's okay because it comes, but the disciples knew it and talked about it and taught it. And we see it all through Scripture. We see in Genesis chapter 1, Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning there was God. Beginning of what? Because he was outside of time and space. So there are these understandings that you have to look and see the context of what it is. But the when you go through and look at what the disciples, the Talmudim, taught, they're teaching things based on their understanding of Judaism that had always been. It wasn't, you know, just something that wasn't a doubt or something that everyone knew. For us as Gentiles on this side, thousands of years later, and many Jews, most Jews, have no concept of that because they're so indoctrined with Western Greek understanding. Remember, you know, Paul, his whole message to when he's the monument or the to the unknown God and the whole thing, Mars Hill, was it Mars Hill and the whole thing? So the and I'm just very loosely paraphrasing. There was a Greek understanding that there's this God out there. We recognize him, but we don't know him. But when Rabbi Shul, Apostle Paul, shows up, he knew exactly who this quote-unquote unknown God was. And then he enlightened the Greeks as to who he was. And those Greeks got to decide whether or not they wanted to accept the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob or not. Because in that place, yeah, there were a lot of pagan Greeks, but there were also some, there were Jews there who had influence on the Gentile Greeks. They knew of God through the Jews, but maybe they didn't serve him. So there's all this stuff going on. It's not just real cut and dry. You have to look at the whole picture of everything. Amen? So, Father, we thank you and praise you for this time we've had together. We look forward to continuing our service. We thank you as we continue our new format, how we're doing it with the different weeks, the different studies. We ask you to continue to help us to not only to understand, but also to have a desire to go deeper, have a desire to ask questions and interact, oh God, and discuss things. So we thank you and praise you for this. In Yeshua's name, Lord, amen and amen.